From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
You can have a pride of lions, a murder of crows, a smack of jellyfish, and now a stench of nerds. Or maybe, if you want to go all D&D, you can call it a party of nerds.
Or a deck of gamers.
Or, like ultimately, a revenge of nerds.
A cloud of meeples?
Why not? This is the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. My name's Trent.
And I'm Mark.
And what have we got coming up?
We have another action-packed show, just for a change. Very exciting. We've got the one of the designers of our most favourite game ever, Dead of Winter. John Gilmore, I spoke to him just the other morning. We've got an interview with him. He teased us all sorts of stuff, even told me stuff that we can't even say, but it's very exciting. We're going to have a Kickstarter update. There's some breaking news in the gaming world. All that and more tonight on The Dice Men Cometh.
And it begins this way, Mark, with... Because I normally start the show with something sort of, you know, pretty crunchy and up just to sort of get us all in the right mood. There's something a little bit different today, mm-hmm. and it's for you. Can I ask you, when you went on the radio last week and told everybody that you needed a girlfriend and they should get in touch with you, how did that work out for you, mate?
I'm still waiting.
Well, tonight's song, it's something I think maybe you haven't heard before.
Okay.
And I think it's something that you kind of need a little bit of in your life right now.
It's not I Need a Man, is it?
Well, it's from an album that I think articulates what you're going through very, very well and sensitively. It's from Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power from the sometime in the 90s. And this is a song called This Love. And Mark, this is for you. There you go, Mark. There you go.
This track just goes on and on and on, doesn't it?
It's an antidote. It's an anti-love song as an antidote.
Ah.
There you go. Pantera's This Love. And that gets us started tonight on a cheery note to talk about board games and card games.
Yay!
Which is what we do on this show. It's The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Mark, have you been playing anything lately, sir?
Tonight... The truth is I've actually been playing Dead of Winter, obviously. I'm not going to talk about that again because we've got John Gilmore on tonight and I talked about it with him. Tried to not be a fanboy, but I don't know that I succeeded.
You're a little bit gushing.
Yeah.
You'll hear that in a moment.
It's just a great game. So I thought I'd just talk about another game that I did get a refresher of at PAX, which was Nothing Personal, that backstabby game. By Tom Vassell and Steve Avery, obviously the famous Tom Vassell, the not-so-famous Steve Avery, produced in 2013 by Dice Tower Games, and an amazing production values in this game. Even the box is just fantastic. It's so solid. It's so firm.
Must have cost a fortune.
Yeah, you know, you've got the gold ring for the capo. You've got the silver... coins, you've got the beautiful, lovely cards, lovely thick board. The production values on this thing are fantastic. But basically, it's about the mafia. It's about climbing the ladder in the mafia and players exerting influence over these various mob people that are climbing the ladder in the mafia. Try not to get arrested. Try not to get fed to the fishes. It's full of backstabbingness. You've got to be careful who you play it with because if you get offended easily, you know, it could be an issue. But... just playing again in PAX just reminded me how much I really loved it.
Yeah.
That sort of game where it's really a take that, you've just got so many opportunities to just twist the knife.
Yeah, and it also reminded me that, you know, it's not a game for the faint of heart socially, okay, because it does actually ask quite a bit of you and you kind of really don't have a choice. You've kind of got to backstab someone.
Well, if you don't backstab someone, they're going to backstab you, that's
exactly,
for sure.
Yeah, so...
So look, Nothing Personal, highly recommend it. It's great fun with the right group. We always have a ball with it. What about you, Trent?
Yeah, that definitely still stands up. So I've been playing... Well, I'm almost kind of embarrassed to sort of talk about this one. Reiner Knizia's Age of War.
Yay! What?
I know. It sounds impressive, but it's actually a little box that's only about like 10 square centimetres wide and stuff. And
Come on, it's Japanese Yahtzee, isn't it?
Pretty much. But it's by Reiner Knizia.
Yeah.
Yet another game designer with a ridiculous name. although Reiner Knizia is perhaps more famous than most. Can you explain who Reiner Knizia is?
Reiner Knizia is a German mathematician, Dr. Reiner Knizia. Not a medical doctor, but a mathematician doctor. So he's fixing numbers. And he, I guess, you know, I would have said 3 or 4 years ago, you know, he was the most famous German or Euro game designer in the world.
Now, he was there in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, games like Tigris and Euphrates and some other ones escaping. Amun Re, an Egyptian game that I used to have.
And I've got Samurai, which is one of his that I really like.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's produced so many games, famous for strange scoring mechanisms that are a bit different and a bit mathy, surprise, surprise, and famous also for the pasted-on theme.
Yeah, well, this Age of War is a game of conquest in feudal Japan for 2 to 6 players.
Sure,
except,
it is.
Of course, it's not. It is. It's just Japanese feudal Yahtzee. it's a push-your-luck dice game filler that takes 15 to 30 minutes. You're basically rolling a series of symbols on your six-sided dice, swords, bows, horses, and what they call...
angry faces?
Well, the official name is Damyo. Thank you very much. But yeah, it's an angry face. And you're just rolling combinations of those in order to win cards and score points out of the middle of the table. Look, there's nothing to it. There is no strategy to this. It's just rolling fistfuls of dice. But it looks nice,
yeah,
and it always gets its yelling, angry face, angry double angry face. You know, and you are trying to roll certain combos and you're yelling at each other for that. And hey, you know, 15 to 30 minutes while you're waiting for the next game to get set up or whatever, it's a perfect little filler.
It does quite a good job as a filler. I've enjoyed playing it a couple of times. You know, it does have that sort of, you know, standing up, throwing dice because you... No, you're not only trying to capture those cards in the middle, that you can capture cards that other people have already captured. Mm. So there is a bit of take that-ness to it. It has almost a little bit of mental blank. I'm so getting old. That Arkham Horror-based game.
Oh, it's
a
dice game.
Eldersign.
Eldersign, that's
it. Has
it.
A little bit of a feel of Eldersign, just in how you're capturing sort of lines of symbols on the card one at a time.
But this is
much simpler. Yeah, yeah, much simpler.
Okay.
But yeah, it's good fun. Hey, Reiner, great job.
Yeah, thanks for turning up, mate. Yeah. No, good on you. Good on you. You might have a thing going in this game, business, Reiner.
There's a future for you, mate.
Okay. So that's what we've been playing lately. We're going to get to our feature interview this week with John Gilmore of Dead of Winter fame in just a moment here on The Dice Man Cometh. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM. That is Harper Lee's Little Green Cars, and you're listening to The Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with Trent and Mark tonight. And if you've been listening at all to this show, be it through Edge Radio, through our podcast, through our live stream on our websites and stuff like that, you'll know that we are fans of Plat Hat Games and their latest release, Dead of Winter.
Fans might be selling it a bit short.
And we don't even like zombie games, and this is like the ultimate zombie game. And look, Mark is such a fan that he braved the wee small hours of the morning and the time difference between here and Ohio to talk to the designer, John Gilmore.
So I'm very excited this morning here on The Dice Man Cometh to be talking to John Gilmore, one of the designers of the hottest of hotness at the moment, Dead of Winter. John Gilmore, thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Firstly, I'm going to ask you, John, and we like to ask everyone this, what have you been getting to the table lately? What's the hotness in your gaming group?
I went to a small convention this last weekend, so I played a bunch of new stuff. I got the Clash of Cultures expansion. I had somebody I knew went to Essen, so they grabbed me a copy and got it over to me in time for it. I love Civilization games, so that was pretty incredible. Castles of Mad King Ludwig, really excited about that, and that's a lot of fun.
It's good, though?
Oh, yeah, it's very good. It's different enough from Suburbia. I feel okay having them both, but it's really good.
Oh, great, and that's great, because we've really enjoyed Suburbia. In 2009, this little print-and-play game called Pocket Dungeon appears on Board Game Geek.
Oh, yeah.
Wins a Golden Geek Award.
It was nominated. It did not win.
Oh, really?
It was nominated.
How do you go from that to being co-designer to this most amazing game? And it's a mega hit at the moment. People just can't get enough of Dead of Winter. Can you talk us through that process?
Pocket Dungeon was kind of my first foray and experience designing anything game-wise. I'd been a computer programmer and played around with some smaller game design ideas. I really kind of stumbled into it. I have mutual friends with Isaac, and he is friends with a group of guys that comes to our monthly game days. So he had come for a few months, and I had been working on what would become Dead of Winter when it was still just an untitled zombie game. Showed it to him. He liked what he saw. He wanted to co-design it with me. Asked me if I would co-design it with him. And, I told him absolutely that I would love to, because I was just wondering if it would be viable when I showed it to him.
Yes.
And he liked it. So then we worked on it. It was close to, we argue about the timeline, but it was real close to 4 years in development.
Wow.
And, we really hope that shows when you play it that, we put it through its paces. And then we showed it to Colby at three Gen Cons ago, I believe.
Yes.
And then, further development, internal playtesting. We had we were lucky. We got a big group of people from the board games subreddit and a couple of board game geekers and some other people that we knew. We had about 100 groups playtesting it.
Wow.
And we had a big push where all those groups had to play at least 10 games of it in a month. So, a lot of playtesting, plus our own groups where he lives about an hour away from me with my group. So we put it through its paces there at the end, really pushed to get the balance right, and then the rest is history.
That sounds like the sort of the Tasmanian way of getting a board game designed, where everyone knows everyone.
Exactly, yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Ohio has, Academy Games and Plaid Hat here. Fantasy Flight's not that far away. There's a lot... Arcane Wonders, about an hour away from me, they have an office there. So there's a lot going on right here in this little area.
The crossroads mechanic. So firstly, whose is that, yours or Isaac's?
Well, it's changed a lot through the various design iterations that we did, as did the rest of the game. The final version of it was something Isaac came up with because we were really wringing our hands because it got near the time where we were ready to send it to the printer and we just weren't completely happy with it.
Yes.
We felt that it was missing something. The gameplay was there, the mechanics were all really solid, and people really enjoyed it, but there wasn't that thing that really pushed it over the edge.
Yeah.
So he was doing a playtest day with a bunch of his people where they were just playing it back to back to back. And at one point, he just kind of threw it out there. Well, what if I did this? And he scribbled something down on a piece of paper. And they tried it, so he wrote about 10 more. And then they tried it some more, and it just clicked. The crossword cards had been in there almost from the start, but yeah. That iteration of it was that was definitely his genius idea.
We love story at Dicemen Cometh. We love theme. We've been big role-playing fans. And it really does give that role-playing feel to the board game, and a lot of games have tried to do that in the past and I don't think necessarily succeeded.
I grew up playing D&D and some of the other role-playing game systems, but together we both kind of grew into things like Fiasco, Dread, some of the other short-form storytelling games where you sit down for about 2 hours and that's the game.
Yes.
And we wanted that feel in the board game, because that was something that was important to us. We were getting a lot of really cool emergent story, which, is emergent story is something you hear a lot about in video games nowadays. Like Minecraft. When you play Minecraft, it doesn't have a structured story, but you kind of build up this story as you go in your mind.
Yes.
And it just emerges without being scripted. And that we were getting a lot of that, which was great. But we also wanted some things that would guide people and help them ease them into the role. And that's what the crossword cards really do.
The other thing that I love, and in fact everyone that I've played with has loved, is the fact that there's a chance of a betrayer, but, and maybe it's just my game group, but it always feels like that there must be three out of four of us are betrayers. It just builds up that level of underlying tension that builds up. is fantastic.
Yeah, that was important to me from the start. The very first edition actually had what I was calling a public trader. So each player had a way that they could win the game by themselves, but everybody else knew what it was. And it was interesting, but it didn't work. But it was always really important for me because this was really from the start kind of my ode to the zombie games, the zombie movies and books and comics and video games that I really love.
Yes.
You know, other games, not to belittle them because they're enjoyable, but they weren't giving me the feeling that I wanted. And you always have that moment, you know, where somebody tries to steal the helicopter that everybody's waiting for or, you know, take the weapons and run off by themselves. Yes. And I think that's an integral part to it.
Yeah, that's right. And you, and the fact that you're actually stuck with them, so you have to trust them to some degree. I actually just watched this morning Starlet Citadel's video review. I love their reviews.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Yeah, Kaya and Joanna, they do a fantastic job. No surprise, they absolutely loved your game, of course.
It's really cool to people, and I think part of it is that it's a very accessible story to slip yourself into. That's something I found, and I think you mentioned it in your last episode. When have you been playing it with your family?
Yeah, that was Trent, yes.
You know, I've had the same experience with my wife. She doesn't enjoy those storytelling games, even things like Tales of the Arabian Nights. She's not a fan of.
Yeah.
But with Dead of Winter, things would happen where, you know, story would emerge and she would kind of start slipping into the character and making decisions based on, not based on the mechanics and what was optimal, but, you know, on her feelings.
I've got to ask you about the characters, because one of the things we love to do when we play is look at the pictures of the characters and ascribe them to movie stars. For example, I can't remember his name, but the accountant, he just reminds us of David Schwimmer, the guy from Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mall Santa looks like Bill Murray. You've got the chemist, whose surname is White.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously any similarities to people living or dead is unintentional, you know, because of copyright issues. But,
of course, yes.
You know, when we sent things to the artist, we kind of gave her character references to work from.
Yes.
And so this is how we picture him in our head, and this is, he is similar to this, you know, this person, or we certainly were inspired to put it, some things that we love in there.
John Gilmore of Dead of Winter fame talking to Mark from The Dice Man Cometh about the game Dead of Winter, how long it took in development hell, 4 years.
Yeah.
They're working on that. And there's more coming up, including the future of Dead of Winter and the Crossroads series and a little bit more about the characters on the way on The Dice Man Cometh here on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. Rock music from Kingswood on 99.3 FM, Edge Radio with the Dice Man Cometh, talking board games and card games in your radio tonight, and specifically talking to John Gilmore, designer of Dead of Winter. Here's the second part of Mark Rickard's Catch Up With Him.
You said you were listening to our show last week. You would have heard our discussion of women in games and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we have actually really loved is the fact that you've got some really strong female role models, you know, a doctor, a pilot. And it's not, they're not just a bimbo who's going to trip over and twist their ankle in the snow. They're actually fully a part of the group and really contributing.
Yeah, it's not the prom queen and, you know, the typical tropes.
Was that a conscious decision?
Absolutely. That was very important to both Isaac and I. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the mom is one of the best characters in the game.
Yes.
And, you know, her power is incredible and she does, you know, what we wanted her to do very well.
Your game being on South Park, did you know about that?
No, we didn't. We didn't have any idea about it until I woke up that morning and had like 200 tweets about it.
I saw it on Twitter, and then I actually went and watched the episode. I mean, it wasn't just there lying down; it was standing up, right in your face. That's amazing.
It's completely amazing. And they didn't, you know, they didn't just use the cover; they made the South Park version of the cover.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was in high school when I first saw The Spirit of Christmas on the internet, so I've been a fan, you know, before there was even a TV series, really.
Yes.
So it was a huge honor. It was incredible.
Yeah. We'd loved the pictures going around of the Nicolas Cage version of the box top.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite threads on Board Game Geek. That and the googly eyes.
Ah, yes, yeah. Nicolas Cage's eyes just go perfectly on your game box, that's for sure. John, I understand this is obviously the first in a series of games. Mm-hmm. Can you tease us a bit about what's coming in the future with the Crossroads games?
Well, as I'm sure you know, people who pre-ordered the game could vote on what they wanted the next couple games in the series to be. And the two highest ranking ones were what we were kind of just offhandedly referring to as Lost in Space. Now, it's not going to be themed on, you know, the Lost in Space TV show or movie, but that's more of, we're trying to describe the feeling of it.
Yes.
So, you know, it's going to be, Isaac's working on that one right now. We kind of separated off on the next two because I work full time and he's full time with Plaid Hat. So I kind of work, you know, I design at night and I can't commit the amount of time that he does. So he's focusing on that and Ashes right now. I haven't gotten a chance to play the Lost in Space game, but he's been telling me a lot about it, and we've been communicating and, you know, bouncing ideas.
Like a 2001 vibe as well?
A little bit. Kind of like a little bit of that, a little bit of the Battlestar Galactica feel of, you know, the yes. remnants of humanity. I don't want to spoil any of the story for you.
Guys, yeah, but. Sure. Okay. Then there are other versions coming. What's the one you're working on?
I'm working on the Deep Underground. It's kind of our code name for it, I guess, at this point.
Okay. Can't give anything else away about that one?
I'm really inspired by the book series Wool, W-O-O-L. So if you look that up, you know, some other inspirations for it were Pitch Black and The Descent,
yes,
which is really good. So those kind of things are going to inspire it.
Is it planned to put out expansions for these games, in particular for Dead of Winter?
Well, I mean, I may have mentioned some stuff on Twitter at one point. I am working on an expansion right now. I got to play that this weekend, too.
Oh, fantastic.
I definitely can't say anything about that, but...
okay.
It's going to be more of the stuff that everybody really loves. I'm a fan of expansions that give me more of the things that I like about a game, while just adding in a couple little new things, you know, that I don't have to spend an extra half hour teaching everybody.
The exciting news, obviously, for gamers at the moment in the States in particular is Board Game Geek Con coming up. Are you heading off to Board Game Geek Con?
I'm unfortunately not. I spent most of my vacation time on Gen Con and Origins. But the rest of the guys will all be there. So they'll be running the booth and, you know, demoing all the stuff, including the game they just announced today, Spectre Ops, which is really exciting.
I just saw that. Yeah. I mean, it actually made me wonder, was it an Alien Crossroads? But I didn't see a mention of that. So it's not from that family of games?
No, it's not a Crossroads game, though there is some stuff that I can't talk about that'll tie in.
Oh, you're teasing me, John. You're teasing me.
I like to do that.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, and your game does it as well, absolutely. Have you been surprised by the response to your game?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Every day I'm surprised by what it's doing and how well people are receiving it. My intention always from the start was to make a game that my game group would continue to play and be the game that we wanted. So I guess that's just kind of resonated with people, and you know, the love and attention that Isaac and I put into it, you know, is really showing through, I think.
I think you've absolutely done that, and like as we've said so many times in our show, you know, we're just coming back to this one again and again and again and absolutely loving it. Now, I did hear some voices in the background there, and I know you are a father of four, so I've got to ask you, as a gaming father myself, what are you playing with your kids lately?
Well, I got Animal Upon Animal from one of my Reddit Secret Santas, the board game Secret Santa.
From Harbor Games.
Yep. My girls really love that. My older daughter is 9 and my younger is 6, and they're both huge fans of it.
Great. That's really hard to get here. I've been trying to get a copy of that for years.
Yeah, I was surprised they got it. It was a total surprise when it was in my package.
Mm.
I love doing Secret Santa's, though. I'm a huge fan of that. Are you doing the Board Game Geek one?
I have done in the past. I haven't signed up for this one this year. I've just been really busy. But it is a fantastic thing, and I know I've always been amazed by the generosity of people in those Secret Santas. It's just amazing.
I'm excited this year. My Target has Dead of Winter on his wish list, so I'm doing some really, really exciting stuff for him. But back to your question,
yes.
Mice and Misfits.
Oh, yes.
I just got the new expansion for that, and I'm looking forward to playing through all three of them with my probably my older two. Rattlesnakes is a lot of fun with kids. It's a game with magnets.
Yes, I have seen that one. Yeah, it does look really interesting.
Yeah, I love trying to get games in with him whenever I can.
Is Trent a bad dad for playing Dead of Winter with his 8-year-old?
I would never judge. We mark the mature content cards in the game so that parents that or people that want to do that are welcome to, for sure.
Yeah.
Every parent needs to be the best judge of that. And you know what they feel comfortable with them. My sister's played it with her older daughter. That's not much different in age. They just kind of explain things a little bit differently, and
yes.
You know, sometimes they don't thoroughly explain the references about where the meat comes from.
Yeah, and look, at the end of it all, what kid doesn't want to feed their father to the zombies?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, especially like 9, 10, 11, it's a game I would absolutely love to play with my dad.
Look, John, thank you so much for your time this morning / yesterday evening for you. we're absolutely loving your game. We're so excited to see these expansions you're talking about. We're so excited to see the next Crossroads games come out. It sounds like we're going to be gaming on this system for years, which we're absolutely loving. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
No worries. You have a great day.
You too.
Listen to you two.
We're buds.
Listen to you. Oh, John, I really love your game so much, and it's really great if we could, you know, maybe we could hang out if you're coming to Australia and, like, you know.
I warned you at the start.
Tell stories about boys and, you know, like, braid each other's hair and stuff. Yeah. I really like
him. I did warn him at the start that I was going to try not to gush like a fanboy, but I think I failed.
Hey, there's been some major news in the world of tabletop gaming over the past couple of days with the creation of a brand new super company that's going to consume or before it, like Disney. And we'll be talking about that next, along with the latest stuff on Kickstarter from Mark's Kickstarter update on The Dice Men Cometh. That's coming up next on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Yes, I'm leaving. Well, actually, just not just yet.
Not just yet?
Yeah. It's the name of the band, you see.
They've almost left.
On Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Trent and Mark are getting set to leave, but not before we give you a last little bit of The Dice Men Cometh for the evening. A couple of days ago, big news in the business world around
really
tabletop
big.
Gaming. Yeah, so French publisher Asmodee has followed up on its recent merger with the California-based Days of Wonder by outright buying Fantasy Flight Games.
Mm.
Fantasy Flight, one of our favourite publishers. Asmodee, a giant in Europe. Days of Wonder as well. I mean, Days of Wonder and Asmodee was like kind of like a natural fit.
Yeah, yeah.
Not exactly boutique publishers, but, you know, they both put out really
high-quality products.
And maybe not necessarily that much, but it was usually a hit. Fantasy Flight Games, Asmodee just buying them out completely, I mean, that's a whole other ballpark. So apparently Fantasy Flight will continue to publish games under its own imprint, so it's not the disappearance of the Fantasy Flight brand, because that, of course, has serious geek cachet in itself. And they've got a lot of ongoing licenses.
Particularly, you know, Star Wars. They've only just recently paid a lot of money for the Star Wars licensing.
Which, obviously, is factored into the price that Asmodee would have paid for them. And the terms of the condition haven't exactly been revealed, so we don't know how much it is.
It's been quite hush-hush. And actually, that was the first thing that popped into my mind was, oh my goodness, Fantasy Flight have just realised they've paid too much for the Star Wars license, and they've gone, you know, they've effectively been going bust, and that's where it's given the opportunity for Asmodee to come in and take over.
Well, it's not just Star Wars, it's also, they've got Game of Thrones, they've got Lord of the Rings, and they've got all the ongoing card games like Android Netrunner that we talk about as well, which is, you know, obviously not quite as big a bickies, but hey. So Asmodee, who are these guys? Well, they're actually owned by an investment group called Eurazeo, who manage a total of about $6 billion worth of assets.
Wow.
So they've obviously stumped up quite a bit of cash to get into bed with Fantasy Flight. They're going to expect returns. I mean, why do investors buy anything if not for a return? So I guess we'll have to see on how you know, if this does affect Fantasy Flight's business.
And I did hear that Christian Peterson, the CEO of Fantasy Flight, did take a sizable stake in the new in Asmodee or in the new company.
Now there's a bloke who hasn't done too bad for himself. You know, as far as geeks make good.
Yep.
I mean, you know, back in 1995, he puts out Twilight Imperium 1.
Yeah, off his own bat,
right, and starts Fantasy Flight Games. Here he is, 2014. And his company is now part of a conglomerate that is set to rival Mattel and Hasbro.
I was going to say, the big question here is, what's next? Is it Asmodee Mega duking it out with Hasbro? Or, the thing we don't want to see, is it, does Darth Hasbro take over Asmodee and all of a sudden it's just all Hasbro?
No, I think what we've got here is, look, at least at the beginning, because Days of Wonder is still going to be putting stuff out under its own name as well. And I guess while there's still that diversity, you know, people are in the market aren't going to necessarily be aware of who's pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Hopefully we don't even really notice a difference as what we see, except maybe there's better distribution channels for all of them.
Well, that's part of the big thing is like access into the European and North American markets for both of those companies. This deal has been talked about since back in 2010 is when these companies first started talking.
Yeah.
A lot of thought's gone into it, a hell of a lot of money. We just hope it doesn't mean that they're just rushing out product in order to make some of it back. Or if, you know, the entire economy sinks when everybody realises that China's massively in debt and the whole Chinese economy implodes and the world just starts sucking down into a negative vortex of depression.
Anyway, from the whales to the minnows, let's talk Kickstarter. Now, firstly, I want to give a yell out to our buddy that we've never met, Al Keynes from Melbourne, and his game, El Luchador Fantastico Grande. It has 4 more days to run. It needs a bit of help, guys. It needs a bit of help. At the moment, it's 32% funded with 4 days to go. Doesn't mean it can't get up. So check it out on Kickstarter. El Luchador Fantastico Grande, the Mexican wrestling game. Have a look at it. See what you think and think about getting on board. It's an Australian indie designer who's putting his design up there.
I've got to say, the artwork for the cards that he's put together looks
fabulous. Yeah, it does look fantastic. Al,
if you're listening, it might be worth pulling it off early in order to try and relaunch it and give it a bit of a polish and have a crack again, because he's obviously put a lot of work into it. And it's quite a common thing that people do with these Kickstarter projects.
Yeah, absolutely. But look, check it out. Have a look at it. 4 days still to go. It's not too late. Another new Australian Kickstarter, which was quite interesting to me, but yeah, I'm not sure. A new tabletop war game rules system by a couple of brothers, actually, from Warrnambool in Victoria, called the Brothers Win.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to be a system where you can use any figures at all, even Lego, to fight against each other. So it's just the rules system. Now,
it's Lego versus G.I. Joe dolls and Star Wars figures.
Yeah, and, you know, Warhammer.
Barbie
and,
dolls.
Yeah, anything you like.
I love this.
Look, they're after $10,000, which is quite a lot. For $49, you get a hardcover rules back book and the software to basically create the tables to play these games. Look, the only thing I'd say to them is you might want to get out of your lounge chair during the filming of the video. So they have a video and it's basically these two brothers sitting in two lounge chairs talking straight to camera.
Right.
But look, good on them. They're giving it a go. So it's called Battlefield Royale. If you're into your tabletop wargaming, check it out.
Listen. We love when Australian designers get up and have a go.
Hey, that's why we're mentioning it here.
And it's more than what we're doing, frankly. But guys, you're in a global marketplace. Yeah. If we're telling you this, imagine what everyone else is saying.
Yeah, and look, if you want to check out the quality of videos, I'd say go back and check out Viking Papercraft, a small company here, right in Hobart, that had a successful Kickstarter and showed the sort of thing that can be done with a bit of video production, I think.
And you don't have to spend a lot of money.
No, that's right. Anyway, so Another new game, Raid and Trade by Mage Company. Now, the name of the company sort of rang a bell. They have produced about 6 games, including Wrong Chemistry and 12 Realms. This is a post-apocalyptic, just for a change, game of negotiation, exploration, and tough decisions with minis, of course. But it's a board game with minis. It's got 14 days to go. It's already 200% funded. It's $50 to Australia plus $20 shipping. The production values on that are really, really nice. One really interesting one that just launched yesterday, it's called Funemployed.
Funemployed.
Funemployed. Like unemployed, but with fun.
Okay. This sounds like my future.
Interestingly, Rob Davio tweeted about it.
Rob Davio?
Rob Davio.
The Rob Davio.
The Rob Davio of Risk Legacy.
Ooh.
And many, many other games. He's a long time hot property in the board games
industry.
Is
this his game?
No. So he saw this game at a convention in America, loved it so much that he is publishing it. So he's publishing the game with the other... I haven't got the designer's name, sorry, but he was so impressed that he's decided to publish this game. It's basically a game of real jobs and unreal qualifications. Basically, they're talking about a mashup between Snake Oil and Cards of Humanity, but as Quinns from Shut Up and Sit Down said, it blows those out of the water with the fury of the depth charge.
Ooh,
okay. So basically, you get 4 qualification cards. And then they flip over a job card. So it might say altar boy, and your qualification cards might say alcoholic, irritable bowel syndrome, things like that. So basically, it's a job interview, and you're speaking about your qualifications. And during the speaking, you play one of these cards in front of you, and you say something about that thing.
Do you end up with irritable bowel syndrome after you've been an altar boy?
Who knows? Anyway, look, it does.
It's gotten cold in here.
It does.
Oh, it's freezing.
It does look like a lot of fun. Now, the strange thing is, there's no option to ship to Australia. It's only shipping to US, Canada, Germany, and the UK.
No.
So I've already posted a question in the Kickstarter forum for this game to say, what's going on?
Maybe Rob Davio's just sick of Australians complaining about Rob, how much
we
it
wanna
costs
know.
To ship stuff across
okay,
the Pacific.
Okay, especially for you, Trent. None More Black. It's an expansion for Battle of the Electric Vikings, which you may remember is the heavy metal song lyric and album name game.
Oh, yeah.
There's an expansion
with more
cards. In case you missed out, for $32, you can get the base game and the expansion. Now, the only thing that worries me about this game is this company has produced 2 other games. One is called Bear versus Gorilla versus CEO versus Hippie, which Tom Vassell reviewed as garbage, worse than Top Trumps. And their other game is called Kick, Punch, Burp, Fart, Slap, which is basically the R-rated version of Rock, Paper, Scissors.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.